Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to a Friday episode of The Dugout from Sports Mole. After 2 months away, the Champions League and Europa League return this week, and there's plenty to look back on, as well as previewing the FA Cup fifth round this weekend. Barney's alongside me once again, and I ask you, Mr. Corkill, is this the end of the road for Louis van Gaal after Manchester United lost 2-1 at Midtjylland?
I think it has to be, doesn't it? That is a dreadful, dreadful result. We know they're not in very good form at the moment, and we know they're not playing very good football, but, you know, this will go down as one of the worst results in the club's history. This is a complete minnow of a team in terms of European competition. I think they were only formed in 1999 when Manchester United were winning the treble, which gives you some perspective of how big a shock this is. So, obviously, massive, massive result for Midtjylland. They deserve a lot of credit. They deserve the victory on the night as well. United were poor again, but all the focus is understandably on United. You'd still expect them to get through the tie. They've got an away goal. All they have to do is beat Midtjylland 1-0 at Old Trafford in the second leg, so you'd still expect them to go through, but that's not really the point of this one. The point is that they lost against a team they should have comfortably beaten in pretty much any other season in probably the club's history. They would have comfortably beaten this team, so it gives a little indication of how far things have fallen under Louis van Gaal. Especially, you know, all the talk pre-match was how big the Europa League had become now, because it was their most likely route into the Champions League, probably with the top four in the Premier League 6 points away now, and, you know, not too many signs that they'd catch Man City in fourth. So this was a big priority for them this season, and they lost against a team they should have comfortably beaten. The fans have completely lost faith in Van Gaal now. They have done for quite a few weeks, and, you know, they've only won 8 of the last 25 games in all competitions, failed to win 17 of the last 25. It's not good enough for size of a club of their size, especially considering all the money he spent. So I'm surprised he's lasted this long, to be honest, and I can't see him lasting too much longer unless things dramatically improve very soon.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It was just the way he talked about the game in the build-up, saying, you know, this is huge for us, the Europa League, and he obviously picked a pretty strong team without Wayne Rooney, who got injured for 6 weeks or so. That's a big blow for them, because he had played, you know, pretty well in 2016 so far, and then obviously losing De Gea in the warm-up was a big blow. But then Sergio Romero came in and made some fantastic saves. The one in the second half especially was it was one of the best saves I've seen all season, definitely one of the saves of the year. So it could have been worse for United, and considering it came after that 2-1 defeat to Sunderland as well at the weekend, such a bad week for the club. And then you see what Van Gaal says, you know, afterwards to the media, oh, it was bad luck that we lost that game. But, you know, Midtjylland, they're a team that I think lost 9-1 to Napoli on aggregate in the group stage. So, you know, that's one of Italy's top teams, you know, completely destroying them. And for United to lose like that, it was just so, so disappointing. And the problem is, though, with, you know, talk of Mourinho coming in, are they going to bring him in before the end of the season? Do they just keep Van Gaal now until the end and then get rid of him in the summer? It's a bit of an odd situation because, I mean, if they lose this Monday coming against Shrewsbury in the Cup, then, you know, surely that was the end of the road for him. But if they can keep going in the FA Cup, he might just be able to keep his job.
Yeah, and another point of that Midtjylland thing, you said this is their first game for 2 months as well, more than 2 months, so they're completely out of practice. And before the winter break, they'd only won one of the last 10, so this isn't a team in good form either. This is a small team in poor form, and he still managed to beat Manchester United. As I say, I think it will go down as one of the worst results in their history. The FA Cup might offer an olive branch for Louis van Gaal, but I think it's a bigger banana skin than it is a potential saver for them. They can only really lose against Shrewsbury. If they don't win that match pretty convincingly by 4 or 5 goals, and people will see that as another pretty disappointing result, because we'll talk about the game a bit more depth later when we talk about the FA Cup. But Shrewsbury are the lowest ranked team left in the competition, only team from League One left in it. So if Manchester United don't comfortably win that, if Shrewsbury can, you know, earn a replay, get back to Old Trafford, or even win the game, Louis van Gaal really is in trouble then.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, like you said earlier, I think they should still be fairly confident of going through this tie. You know, they got the away goal, like you said, and it's only a 1-goal deficit. So going back to Old Trafford next week, they should be fairly confident. But then, you know, when they come to that game, they might be looking ahead to Sunday's match. They host Arsenal in the Premier League, and that's always a massive fixture, Manchester United against Arsenal. So they might have one eye on that, and depending on what happens against Shrewsbury, you know, you don't know what the confidence will be like. But the thing is, for Midtjylland, like, if United had just gone there and, say, even just eked out a draw or just nicked a win, then the Danish side wouldn't have thought they had much chance, really. But now they've got that win, they're going to be so confident coming to Old Trafford next week. And you do wonder if they can even beat them at home, really. And when you look at some of the other teams that are left in the Europa League, I mean, you see Dortmund looking pretty good, Napoli, Valencia had a massive win last night. It's hard to imagine United being even one of the favourites if they did get through this tie.
Yeah, that's true. I think there's quite a few teams above them in the pecking order to go all the way in Europa League, especially when you see performances like that against Midtjylland. It would take probably United's best performance of the season to get past a Napoli or a Dortmund or Sevilla or even a Valencia now that they seem to have found a bit of form under Gary Neville. So if they do get through this tie, which we are expecting, but as you say, Midtjylland will have confidence now. They'll go to Old Trafford with absolutely nothing to lose. They can afford to sit back, maybe try and nick one on the break or via a set piece. The complete onus will be on United, and there'll be a lot of pressure on them to perform as well, not only to win the match, not only to sneak through, but to score quite a few goals as well. So it's going to be a lot of pressure on United when they come back to Old Trafford. And as you say, even if they do get through that round, no guarantees that it'll go any further in the Europa League either.
Yeah, and how big a miss do you think that Rooney will be, you know, in the next... He's said to be out for 6 weeks or so, could be longer. Him missing, De Gea possibly missing with a knee injury now as well. You know, there's two of their best players there. Surely, is there any chance they can even get to that top four this season?
Well, even with those two players, I think it would have been tough for them to get to the top four. But those two are obviously big losses. We don't know how long De Gea is out for, but if he's out for a while, then that really is a big loss. You mentioned Romero did play pretty well against Midtjylland, but De Gea, you know, he's probably the best goalkeeper in the league. He's saved them quite a lot of points this season. They've been in a much even worse position without him than they are with him this season. So he's a big loss. Rooney, as you mentioned earlier, has been in really good form in 2016. I don't think there's a player in the Premier League who's been directly involved in more goals since the turn of the year than Rooney. So after it was a pretty dire first half of the season for him, but he's found a bit of form now. So again, he will be a big loss. Obviously the captain as well, which is another big loss. You know, looking at it as an opportunity, it might give Martial a chance to play through the middle where he has impressed at times this season. Could give Memphis a regular run in the team. He really needs a string of games really to get into it, because it hasn't happened for him so far this season. If he gets a few games either on the left or through the middle, then, you know, we might start to see a bit more from him. So it could be seen as an opportunity, but certainly it's not an ideal situation for Louis van Gaal to lose two of his biggest and best players.
Absolutely not. So United losing 2-1, another team, English team, to lose 2-1 in midweek was Chelsea. You watched that game against Paris Saint-Germain. They played okay in that one, but PSG did look a little bit better and just got the win in the end. What did you make of the game?
Yeah, it was a good game. We expected it to be another good one. Obviously, they've met a couple of times in the last two seasons in the Champions League, and they've all been pretty good encounters, and this was another good one. I mentioned in the build-up to that match, I expected it to be a lot closer than the respective league table suggests. Obviously, PSG are running away with Liga, and Chelsea are still in the bottom half of the Premier League. So, you know, on paper, it should have been a comfortable PSG win, but Chelsea, they were good in that match. That was one of their best performances of the season, despite losing the game. You know, there's a completely different feel about Chelsea right now than there will be about Manchester United, despite both losing by the same scoreline away from home in Europe. So, you know, PSG, they did look good at times. They're playing some pretty slick football, some party football at times, and you could tell that they were full of confidence going into that game. And Chelsea did a good job of weathering an early storm, but then looking dangerous on the break as well. Obviously, Costa had that glorious chance, hit the bar after a fantastic save from Trapp. So, you know, they could have got a couple of away goals, which would have put them as heavy favourites going into the second leg. As it is, you know, it's probably about as even as it could be after the first leg there. Chelsea will fancy their chances after that performance. Certainly, if they might have Terry back, they might have Nemanja Matic back for that game as well. So those are two big players defensively that are returning. And defensively, they were very strong against PSG. They had to do a bit of reshuffling with Terry out. Ivanovic came back into the middle. He was fantastic alongside Cahill. So they've certainly shown that they can, although Ibrahimovic did score via a lucky deflection, although you have to say Mikel should have done better in the wall there, turning away, yeah, never a fan of that. And if he'd stayed straight on, he would have blocked that shot. But a bit of luck, Ivanovic and Cavani, two of their biggest players, did get the PSG goal. But Chelsea, they defended well in that match. They had their chance at the other end. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past them getting through this one, and it didn't look likely with PSG, you know, in such good form going into the game.
Yeah, I think when the draw came out, you know, PSG obviously only qualified in second place behind Real Madrid in their group, and I think they would have been, you know, fairly happy to get Chelsea as one of the group winners in the draw, and I think they would have been quite surprised by how, you know, well Chelsea played in that. I mean, PSG did still dominate for large parts, and they started really, really quickly, but for Chelsea to only lose by one goal, I think is a big plus, and like I say, getting the away goal through, you know, Mikel, he obviously made up for, you know, that sort of half-hearted attempt to block Ibrahimovic's free kick, and a very rare goal for him, but I think just getting that away goal could be huge for the club, and like I say, back at Stamford Bridge, and, you know, they've got now 3 weeks until the next leg, so they can really prepare for it, and I think certainly they've definitely got a chance to get through, and I think more people picked PSG to win by two goals going into that game, so them to keep it just to one, I think, was an impressive result. And the way it looks at the moment, them and City probably, you know, might both be getting through the Champions League. We don't really think that Arsenal are going to get past Barcelona, but Chelsea got a chance. And I mean, we haven't seen City's first leg against Kiev yet. That's next week, but we'd certainly expect both of those to get through. But a positive result, even though Hiddink did lose his unbeaten record.
Yeah, certainly a positive result, and you can't really overestimate the size of that away goal. And you said it came from an unlikely source. It was Mikel's sixth goal, I think, in 11 years at the club. So for him to get it was a huge shock. Anyone who had a bit of money on him to score next would be a lot richer come the next morning. But it was, yeah, a very good result for them. A lot better than many people were expecting, as you say. And there's a chance now for them to salvage a bit from their season, because if they can get through to the next round, we mentioned it last week, if they can come up against a Wolfsburg or someone in the next round that they'd expect to beat in the next round, then suddenly they find themselves, you know, in the semi-finals of the Champions League, and that would certainly be a huge, you don't expect them to go all the way, I think there's a lot better teams in the competition than them, but it would certainly be a big plus considering how poor their Premier League title defence has been. Obviously, still got the FA Cup, which, again, we're going to talk about a bit later. But they've got a real chance now. And Hiddink, as you mentioned, that was his first defeat. He's usually good at grinding out decent results. He won the Champions League with PSV back in the 80s. And obviously got all the way to the semi-finals with Chelsea in 2009. One boot away from making it all the way to the final as well. So he's got a decent record in the Champions League. He's unbeaten at Stamford Bridge so far since returning to the club. So, you know, there's positives there for Chelsea to take, and they will fancy their chances going into that second leg. I think I still make PSG slight favourites, but, you know, they're certainly up for grabs.
Yeah, you mentioned there that if they do get through, they could draw one of the teams. I mean, I've watched the other two ties on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. I mean, Benfica Zenit on Tuesday was one of the worst games I've ever seen. It was so, so bad, and so many yellow cards. The ref was constantly blowing for free kicks. It was a stop-start nature of the game. It was such a bad game. But Benfica, in the end, did get last gasp winner through Jonas. So they're going to be slight favourites, I think, going into that second leg. But either of those who goes through, any of the big teams will be happy to draw them. And then the other game on Wednesday between Ghent and Wolfsburg, again, I mean, Ghent, they were the first Belgian team to ever reach the last 16 in the Champions League. Wolfsburg had never been there either, and you know there was a lot of pressure on Ghent at home in that first leg, and they were just terrible. The Wolfsburg cut them apart so many times, and I mean they went 3-0 up pretty quickly. Ghent, you know, late fire back to get it back to 3-2, so they are still in the tie. But whoever goes through out of those four, whichever two teams out of Benfica, Zenit, Ghent, and Wolfsburg, whoever gets through, any of the big boys will be really hoping to draw them, because they're two pretty weak ties. And I mean, if Chelsea do get through and get either of those teams, you'd have to say that they'd start as favourites, and then you've got a great chance to get to the semi-finals. And you know, once you're there, you're only three decent results away from winning the whole thing. So a real chance for Chelsea, even though, like you've mentioned, they are doing really bad in the Premier League, down in 12th. You know, even still after that 5-1 win over Newcastle last weekend. But just one last Champions League game to touch on. That's Real Madrid. They beat Roma 2-0. Deserved winners in that one.
Yeah, they were deserved winners. First half was pretty poor. It was a neither side really created a clear chance. There was one Marcelo volley, which, you know, wouldn't be really classed as a chance, but it was a fantastic effort. Went just wide in the first half. It started to liven up a bit in the second half. Real Madrid took the lead through Ronaldo, and a bit of luck to the goal. It was deflection, but still a good strike from him. He cut inside well, and then Hesse, that second goal looks like the killer goal late on. You know, really good finish from him. Finally went on the outside. Everyone had been cutting inside all game for Roma and Real Madrid, so he finally went on the outside, drilled it to the bottom corner. Really good goal, and probably the goal that killed the tie off, because you can't see Roma going to the Bernabeu and winning by two clear away goals. So it looks like a very important one, that one. The thing you would say from Real Madrid's point of view is Roma had their chances. They gave away far too many chances to the home side in that game, and you know, Salah he was in a good position, so many opportunities, but just had no right foot. He always cut inside onto his left, and Ramos read that time after time, forced him down on the outside, and he was never, ever able to create anything from it. If that's a Neymar or someone in a similar position, or a Messi in a similar position, then that's not going to be the case. And the chances that broke to them into the box, which, if they come up against Barcelona, that front three would have snapped up. That Barcelona probably would have scored 3 or 4 goals in that game. So Real Madrid, they need to work on how many chances they gave away, but certainly a deserved win, and they certainly have one firm foot in the quarterfinals now. It's really hard to see Roma coming back from that one.
Absolutely, yeah. So not completely impressive from Real Madrid, and PSG the same, possibly not playing as well as they have been in the league. So either of those teams particularly impressed you, and would you say that either of those could beat, say, some of the teams we're going to see next week, like Barcelona, Juventus, Bayern Munich?
Oh, Real Madrid always have the quality. It wasn't their best defensive performance, but going forward, they've got the quality, certainly. That, obviously, they were without Bale against Roma, so when he comes back as well, they've got the ability to beat the top teams. PSG, still a big question mark over them. That is the big test for them this season, is how far can they go in Europe? They've obviously, by far, the best team in France at the moment, and the thing the owners really want is success in Europe. Still wouldn't put them on the same sort of level as Barcelona, Bayern Munich and Real Madrid, really, but they've got the players, if they can get past Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, they've certainly got the players to hurt the team, to hurt the top teams. And the way they were playing some decent football as well. So, I certainly wouldn't put it past them pulling off a bit of a shock against one of the top teams should they come up against any of them. But they would still be underdogs. I still don't see them going all the way. I'd put them maybe fifth best team in Europe at the moment, behind maybe Real Madrid, Barcelona, Bayern Munich and probably Juventus in there as well. So, still a bit of a way to go for them. I don't see them as potential winners yet, but I see them getting through against Chelsea. Nice draw in the next round, could get through to the semi-finals, which is uncharted territory for them in the Champions League. So that's all progress. Of those two, though, Real Madrid for me are the more likely winners of the whole thing.
Okay, moving on to the Europa League now. So we had two other English. We've talked about United already losing in Denmark, but two other teams, English teams in action, Liverpool and Spurs. You watched the Liverpool game last night, 0-0 draw at Augsburg. Much to that game at all?
No, not really. I said after the 6-0 win against Aston Villa, I wouldn't be surprised if this was a pretty boring, low-scoring affair, because Liverpool are in that sort of period of inconsistency, and that's exactly what it was, really. Played a strong team, Liverpool did. I think Jurgen Klopp fancied the chances of maybe getting a 2-goal away aggregate lead that would have allowed him to rest a few players at Anfield, because with that second leg next week comes only 3 days before the League Cup final, so he would have fancied probably resting a few players for that second leg. That's not going to be able to be the case, because it wasn't a good performance from Liverpool, really. You might say the onus was more on Augsburg to go and get the win, but Augsburg have been a lot better away from home this season than they have at home, so they might fancy their chances a bit at Anfield. They were the match for Liverpool for large parts. There weren't very many clear chances for either side. Augsburg came closest, hit the post late on, and had a really good chance at the end of the first half as well. So they came closest to actually grabbing the win. 0-0 isn't the worst result for Liverpool. They're still favourites to go through, but it wasn't the best result. It wasn't the best performance. And really, it was just the occasion. The match didn't really match the occasion, because Augsburg, for them, it was arguably the biggest game in the club's history. It was their first ever European knockout tie. They're welcoming 5-time champions of Europe, so to hold them to a 0-0 draw is a good result for them, so they'll be happy with that. Liverpool, not so happy, but still the favourites going into this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Second leg.
Yeah, I guess you mentioned about resting players there and preparing for that League Cup final, which is obviously a huge game for the club, given they're not really in top four contention this year. And even struggling to make the European places. But, they aren't in the FA Cup fifth round this weekend, like a lot of the other teams, so they don't play this weekend. So they have got, a week to rest before that second leg. So I think that's possibly the only positive there. But, like I say, I was surprised given when you saw the starting lineup, I was really surprised, just looking back at the highlights, how little chances they created, really. You know, there's just nothing there. And considering Sturridge started, and he obviously looked quite bright in that 6-0 win over Villa, but for them not to create much with, you know, I think, did Firmino and Coutinho both start as well?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Yeah, just to not create much with all, those three all in the starting lineup, really, really surprising, I thought. And, you know, Mignolet made a couple of good saves as well, so perhaps lucky to not concede a goal there. But as for Spurs, that was the game I was on yesterday, and they were so good. I mean, Fiorentina, they're third in Serie A, so only behind Napoli and Juventus, who have both been excellent this season. Spurs second in England, so it should have been a good game. But Spurs, they were just completely dominant for the first half an hour or so, couldn't quite get a goal, and then they did win a penalty, went ahead. But and then Fiorentina, second half, they got a deflected goal, and that just completely lifted them. And in the end, they probably could have won the game, Fiorentina. But for Spurs, Pochettino, it's not the worst result 1-1 there, because you've got the away goal, and they'll certainly be favourites at White Hart Lane next week. But it was disappointing the way they dropped off in the second half, and they were really lucky not to have Dele Alli sent off in the first half, because just off the pitch, he like kicked out at Tomovic when the ball was going out. And it's the sort of thing that it's, you know, Beckham in 98 when he just, you know, flicked his foot at Simeone in the World Cup. It was very similar to that, just the petulant kick out, and the referee seemed to see it because he booked him. But it's come out this morning that Dele Alli's not going to get retrospective punishment for that. But he was really lucky there. That just showed a bit, maybe a bit of his childish nature there. He's still only 19, but, you know, in the actual game he played so well, but he's just got to cut out that sort of thing. But for Spurs itself, it was an okay result, and they should be favourites to go through. Do you think Liverpool will be favourites to go through in the return leg back at Anfield?
Yeah, they'll certainly be favourites. As I said earlier, Augsburg have been better away from home. Liverpool have been better away from home as well. So it's actually, you know, Liverpool, not a great home record against coming up against Augsburg team with a good away record. So that's a hint of a chance for Augsburg. But, you know, the difference in size between the two teams is massive, and Liverpool will go into that game. You know, Jurgen Klopp's already highlighted Europa League as one of the priorities left of the season. He said it's their most likely route into the Champions League now. So even with the League Cup final only a few days later, you know, I'm expecting a pretty strong team from Jurgen Klopp in that match. And you'd expect them to get the win there. You'd expect them to show a bit more attacking intent. There was no real urgency in the first leg. There was no real need for them. You'd have thought they would have wanted a couple of goals maybe, but there was no real need for them to go out and get them. No need to take any unnecessary risks, where that would be the case if it's still 0-0 in the closing stages of the second leg at Anfield. So I think we'd see more attacking intent from them in the second leg. They'll certainly go into the game as favourites, and I'm backing them to go through as well. As far as Tottenham are concerned, I think that's a really good result for them, 1-1 against Fiorentina. And as you mentioned, they will be favourites in the second leg as well. It's just whether they, you know, they want to go through in the Europa League, really, with the Premier League title race as it is. They might want to put all their eggs in that basket, but the performance against Fiorentina didn't really show any signs that they were taking the foot off the pedal, which is good to see, really, from the fans' point of view, challenging on all fronts. But yeah, that's a good result for them, I think. And they'll find, I think, all three English teams, although none of them got the win in the first leg of the Europa League, I think all three of them will fancy the chance of getting through to the last 16.
Yeah, we talked about Spurs, that Pochettino maybe should just, you know, rest all his key players and, you know, really not risk any injuries in that game against Fiorentina. But he started with it's a near full strength line. I mean, Harry Kane didn't start. He came on with about half an hour to go and didn't really do much, to be honest. But he started with Eriksen, Ali, you know, Alderweireld, you know, a lot of his key players all started in that game, and they all came through it. And I think Pochettino would just be disappointed, because they played so well for about 50 minutes in that game and could only get 1-0 in front. And then, you know, the goal they conceded was a bit unlucky, because it took a deflection, went in off the crossbar. But after that, they really did fall away, and Fiorentina missed a great chance right at the end that Rodriguez headed wide from about 2 yards. Not quite sure how he missed it, but like you say, it's just still, even like you say, that the English teams, maybe apart from Chelsea in Europe this week, you know, they'll be favourites going into the second leg. But it's still no wins, and it's again another disappointing set of results for Premier League teams. And, you know, considering when you see teams from, say, Spain, you know, Sevilla, Valencia, handsome winners last night, Real Madrid winning in the Champions League, it's still, the Premier League still looks quite a bit short of, say, La Liga, doesn't it?
It does, and, you know, I saw a stat of Spain's results in Europe this week, and it was fantastic. All their teams won, none of them even conceded a goal, so, and that includes a great win for Villarreal over Napoli as well in the Europa League. So, you know, it was a real good midweek for Spain, and it has been a few good seasons for Spain when you compare them to the Premier League. We always think of Premier League as having a bit more strength and depth because the bottom team can quite often beat the top team. There's a lot more scope for shocks in the Premier League than there is perhaps in La Liga. But I think if you're comparing right now the top 6-7 teams in the Premier League to the top 6-7 teams in La Liga, then La Liga wins that battle, to be honest. And the concern for England now is still those four Champions League places, because they're really in danger if English teams don't go through. And you mentioned PSG probably favourites against Chelsea, Barcelona certainly favourite against Arsenal. You know, Man City the only ones who would go into their Champions League last 16 tie as favourites. So that's something England really do need to keep an eye on. The English clubs have fallen quite a long way from where we were a few years ago. And, you know, in terms of European success out of the top leagues now, Spain is certainly somewhere ahead of England.
Absolutely, yeah. Let's look into the FA Cup now. Fifth round this weekend. All starts with Arsenal against Hull. It's the third year in a row these two have met. 2014 final, Arsenal won 3-2 in extra time. Then last year they met in the third round with Arsenal going through, and Arsenal, they're trying to become the first team to win the FA Cup three straight years in, like, I think it's like 130 years since Blackburn Rovers in like 1886, so it's a long old time. And you certainly expect them to come through this tie, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely. Them at home as well makes such a big difference. Hull in good form, to be fair to them, in the Championship. If it was maybe the other way around at the KC Stadium, then you'd fancy maybe Hull to pull off a shot. But, you know, this is a competition which Wenger always takes seriously. He's won it six times. No other person has won it more as a manager, so he takes it seriously. Arsenal, the most successful club in the competition's history, on chasing three in a row. It was the trophy that ended their 9-year trophy drought as well, so it's certainly a special trophy for Arsenal. You'd expect they'd take it seriously, even with the title race in the Premier League taking priority and the match against Barcelona coming up in Europe as well. So they'll still take this one seriously, and there'll still be favourites to go through. It's not going to be an easy game because, as I mentioned, Hull, they do go into the match in good form, but Arsenal will be favourites, and I can't really see Hull pulling off a shock, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think, well, obviously the tie of the weekend, you'd have to say, is on Sunday. Chelsea against Man City, two of the teams, you know, two of the biggest teams left in the competition. Both teams won it, you know, many times in recent years. And who would you say is favourite going into that? Because City, they've lost two big games recently, haven't they? You know, against Leicester and Spurs, both at home in the Premier League. Massive games in the title race. Lost both of those. Whereas Chelsea, like we said, played pretty well against PSG. 5-1 winners over Newcastle last weekend. So which team do you say is favourite going into that?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think it's going to depend on, you know, what lineup Manuel Pellegrini chooses. If he chooses his first choice lineup, I'd probably say Man City. But it being at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea are going to take, you know, they're going to use that as one of their main priorities. Premier League's gone this season, obviously got Europe, which we've already talked about. So Chelsea will be taking that seriously. It's a really tough one to call. Man City, they'll be keen to bounce back from those two results against Leicester and Tottenham. Yeah, I fancy their chances of doing so, to be honest. I'd make them just about favourites, but at the same time, we've already talked about Hiddink's record, unbeaten record at Stamford Bridge so far. So I think City would probably be content to come away from that match with a draw to force a replay. I'm making them slight favourites, but it promises to be a good game, I think, and I think it'll be a lot closer than the league suggests.
Yeah, the only thing I'd say about City is, you know, Chelsea, they've had their European game on Tuesday. And they now get till Sunday, and then the next match against Southampton is until the following Saturday, whereas for City, they've got that game on Sunday, then they go to Kiev on Wednesday, and then they've got the League Cup final, which is obviously a huge game, a final at Wembley. And of those three ties, you'd probably say this one is third in the priority list, and that's why I'm suspecting that maybe people like Aguero might be rested, because, you know, for City, the Champions League is what they want to, you know, that's where they really want to progress. And you'd have to say that getting, you know, they can't go to Kiev slightly tired. It's obviously a long trip anyway, and they can't go there a bit tired. And then say if they went and lost 2-0 in Kiev, then that would be so hard coming back to the Etihad for the second leg. They need to get a good result out in Ukraine. Then they've got that. And then obviously the League Cup final, like I said. So that's the only thing I'd say with City, that Pellegrini has to be. And he's already talked many times about he's not happy with the way the fixtures have panned out and how many games they've got in succession this week. But you do worry that maybe Chelsea, feeling more confident at the moment, I think they're going to start as favourites, and I'd back them to go through.
Yeah, well, they certainly stand a good chance, and the City fixture point is a good point. They've got four away games in a row, I think it is now, two of them coming up against Liverpool, which is counting their Wembley appearance as an away game. two of them coming up against Liverpool, one in the League Cup final, one in the Premier League, which is not an easy tie. So it's four pretty difficult away ties. Kiev's never an easy place to go to. You'd expect them to get through the tie, but it's not easy going all the way to Ukraine out there. And as I agree with you that FA Cup will probably be third in their priority list, but at the same time, I think Pellegrini, he'll certainly want to win the FA Cup. He'll want to keep in as many competitions as possible. This is his last season at Man City. He'll want to go out with a bang, and at the moment they're still in all four competitions that they could be in. So to go out with, two, three trophies and to keep as many options open as possible, as far into the season as possible, will probably be something that Pellegrini wants to do. So, I can see maybe them resting a few players. Aguero is the type of player who's only really rested when he's coming back from injury. If he's back fully fit, which he is now, he tends to start these sorts of games, even with big games in midweek. He's the sort of player, like a Messi or a Neymar or Suarez for Barcelona, who always seem to play most important games. And this certainly is an important game. It doesn't matter if they've got three games in the space of a week. Aguero usually starts all of them if they're all big games. So I'd probably expect him to start. Might be a different question at the other end of the field with Kompany, who's only recently returned from injury. So that'll be interesting to see, because as we've been over a few times this season, their record without Kompany is dire compared to their record with Kompany. So it will be interesting to see which lineup Pellegrini picks. And I think come the team news hour before kickoff on Sunday, I think then we'll get our answer of who the favourite is, because if Chelsea pick a full-strength side and Pellegrini doesn't, then Chelsea would be favourites for me. If both pick a full-strength side, even with it being at Stamford Bridge, I'd probably just back Man City.
Okay, as for Man United, like we mentioned, they've got Shrewsbury. Surely they're not going to lose this one.
They can't really. Certainly can't afford to for Louis van Gaal's point of view, but I mentioned the Midtjylland one being one of their worst results in their history. Shrewsbury will be up there if they lose that. They're 3 points clear of the relegation zone in League One. Only team outside of the top two tiers in English football still to be in the competition. So, United will go into that as big favourites. But at the same time, these recent results for United, losing to Sunderland and Midtjylland, they'll give Shrewsbury so much hope. And with it being in Shrewsbury at Greenhouse Meadow, the fans are going to be up for it. It's going to be they're going to make a proper cup tie atmosphere, and it's a huge, huge potential banana skin for United. They won't fancy going down there for sure. I think that Shrewsbury are going to make it difficult for them. The thing United probably need more than anything in that game is an early goal, just to quieten down the crowd and maybe kill any belief that Shrewsbury will go into the game with. If Shrewsbury can make a quick start to the match and certainly keep United out for the first 20 minutes, half an hour, then I could see that being a pretty tricky fixture for United. It'd still be a huge surprise if they don't go through, but it's not a tie they're going to be relishing, I don't think, by any means.
No, definitely not. And, Monday night, nighttime atmosphere as well. It should be a very hostile ground. It should be very difficult for them, I reckon. As for some of the other teams that, could go quite a long way in the competition, Everton, they go to Bournemouth on Saturday evening. Spurs, they host Crystal Palace on Sunday. Any of those two do you think could go out this weekend?
I think Everton are a tough one to call at the moment. Obviously, they've generally been better away from home than they have at home this season, so that's probably a positive for them being drawn at the Vitality Stadium against Bournemouth. But that's going to be an interesting tie, because Bournemouth, they've been able to pick up the odd good result so far this season. If Everton really click, then you'd say they get the chances to score against Bournemouth, and they've certainly got the players to take advantage of that. So that's a really tough one to call for me. I think whoever wins that one does have a decent chance of going quite a long way in the competition, which would obviously be big for either club. Bournemouth more than Everton, but Everton, they haven't won a trophy since the 95 FA Cup, so they're in desperate need of a bit of silverware, and this could be a good chance. Obviously, they got to the semi-finals in the League Cup as well this season, so another good cup run for them would be good. I think my dark horses for the tournament, though, I'd expect Tottenham to get through against Palace just because Palace are in such poor form, but my dark horses would probably be Watford, because they've performed well so far in the Premier League, and they've got the players certainly to get past Leeds United, who just, their form has improved a little bit recently, but just a bit of a mess of a club. They have been for a long time now, and it's hard to predict what's going to happen with them, really. So Watford at home to Leeds, they'll fancy their chance of getting through that one. And then you're in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, and the way they're performing, they've already shown that they can pull off one-off results against the big team. So if they were to be drawn against an Arsenal, a Chelsea, Man City, a United or a Tottenham, they'll fancy the chance of winning those games as well. So they're probably my dark horses. They've never won the FA Cup before. I think they've only got to the final once during the glory era, 1984, I think it was. So for them to get all the way, this is a big chance for them this season. I reckon they'll really fancy their chances.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that obviously they're sitting, you know, in the top half of the table. They've done so well in their first year back. 36 points. They only need four more to reach that 40-point total, which, you know, they would have just wanted to stay up at the start of the season, which, you know, barring an incredible collapse, they are going to do so. And like you say, they should have far too much for Leeds. They don't really need to rest. You know, they haven't got too many fixtures coming up. There's no need to rest the likes of Deeney and Ighalo. I mean, he might rest one of them, but I can't see him resting both Flores. And I'd sort of say the same about West Ham. You know, they go to Blackburn, another Championship team having, you know, a completely indifferent season. And West Ham, they're obviously doing so well in the league, sitting right up there, you know, fifth or sixth they are at the moment. And like you say, they've got the kind of players that can, you know, they've already beaten several big teams this year. And say if Watford and West Ham, if they both win and then they draw the winner of the other tie we haven't talked about, Reading and West Brom, you know, you'd probably back them to beat either of those. And then you've got, then you're through to a, you know, semi-final at Wembley. And with the players they've got, you know, with Watford, Ighalo, Deeney, West Ham, you know, the Paies and the kind of class players they've got, I'd back either of those teams to really cause a problem, especially when you know that Chelsea and City play each other. One of those is going to go out. There's a real chance, I think, for either of those to go on and win it this year.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously West Ham already knocked out Liverpool, so they've already got one pretty big scalp this season. And it would be a pretty, for them, it would be a cap of fantastic final season. It would be a great way to say goodbye to Upton Park. Obviously, the final's not going to be there, but it would be a fantastic way for them to pay tribute. If they can carry on their league form, perhaps nick European football via the league and win the FA Cup, you know, they wouldn't have expected any better final season at their long-time home than that. And it would be a great way to bring in the new era at the Olympic Stadium as well. So they're certainly up there. I haven't got to the final since the 2006 one against Liverpool, where it's probably the last great final we've seen. It was a fantastic game, that one. So it's been a long time for them, a decade this year, so they'll fancy their chances as well. I think those two certainly probably the dark horses to go all the way. And as you mentioned, if they get a kind draw in the quarterfinals, should they get through, then, you know, semi-finals, anything can happen, as we saw, we've seen the last two seasons with Hull and Aston Villa both getting all the way to the final. It gives the smaller teams, West Ham probably wouldn't come into the category of a small team, but it gives those sorts of sides who don't often get the opportunity to go to Wembley a really good chance to get all the way to the final. And then, you know, anything can happen on the day in the final.
Yep, okay, nice one, Barnes. Should be a really good weekend with all those FA Cup games. And you can follow all the big games this weekend on sportsmile.co.uk. We'll be back next Friday to talk about the results from the FA Cup and next week's Champions League and Europa League games. So we'll see you then.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.